Listening Library presents Remember Me Gone by Stacey Stokes. Read for you by Catherine Tabor. For my mother, always. Chapter 1. People come from everywhere to forget. I set down the pitcher of water I'm holding and step off the porch. A cloud of dust kicks up behind a rust-colored station wagon, making its way up our drive. It slides next to the other cars lined up on our front yard. The large woman hunched behind the steering wheel looks no different from the rest of the folks who make the pilgrimage here, tired from a long drive, heavy with unwanted memories, and badly in need of a pee. I squint against the glare of the sun to get a better look at the license plate. Vivi told me and Mama not to hold our breath. Hawaii and Alaska are too far, even for the most memory-burdened people. But I think one day someone from every single state will show up, ready to bury whatever it is that called them to make the long drive to Tumbletree, Texas. Oklahoma, I say, when I finally read the plate. We stopped counting the Oklahomas years ago, once the tick marks filled up an entire page of my notebook. Oklahoma's a decent hike from Tumbletree, 729 miles to be exact. But it's not far enough to earn another page in my notebook. Not by a long shot. Hell, I'd take a Louisiana or even a Kentucky over Oklahoma. Mama used to say that Oklahoma was about as exciting as Tumbletree, and there's nothing here but dirt, dust, and dusty dirt. I touch the ring on my right hand. The promise ring Dad gave Mama when she first came to Tumbletree, and picture her rolling her eyes at the plate. The woman kicks open her car door and slowly pushes herself out, straining against the seat like it's got hands. A few candy wrappers and an empty bag of Cheetos spill out with her onto the gravel. I can tell by her wrinkled nose that the memory house isn't what she expected. That, or maybe she didn't think it would already be north of 90 degrees this early in the day. Lucy! I jump. Vivi's standing on the sagging front porch, left hand perched on the hips of a too snug blue dress, looking at me like it's my fault it's squeezing her too hard. Sometimes I think the only reason she has such a tiny waist is because she jams her fist into her sides all the time. She likes to brag to people in town about being Dad's administrative assistant, but that title would only be accurate if it meant that her sole purpose was to assist my dad in administrating me. Not that I can blame her for bragging about her job. It beats the heck out of working at the mines with the rest of the folks in town. I make a show of trudging up the steps, not caring that the swarm of people waiting to meet with Dad are all watching. Vivi nods to the pitcher of water sweating on the porch where I left it. What exactly is it that you're doing, Lucy? These poor people are hot and thirsty. Where are your manners? Are you waiting for me to do your chores for you now? She motions to the cast covering her right arm, like I'm not fully aware that it's broken. Like she hasn't been waving it at me all summer. I was gonna get to it in just a second. What I want to ask, though, is why I'm still being forced to play waitress when it's supposed to be the first day of my apprenticeship. Shouldn't I be doing something more important, like observing Dad work, or clearing my head for the afternoon? But I know better than to backtalk this early in the day. It puts Vivi in a foul temper, and there's nothing worse than a foul-tempered Vivi. The Oklahoma woman finally reaches the house and lets out a long huff of air, like the short walk took the wind right out of her. Her cheeks flare pink in the heat. I move aside so she can finish climbing the steps. Her eyes scan the cluster of people sweating on the porch, and she pauses, looking for a minute like she might bolt. Vivi breaks her glare with me long enough to give the woman one of her sticky sweet smiles. Welcome! I assume you're here to see Mr. Miller. The woman nods, eyes resting on the paint-chipped sign hanging above the paint-chipped front door. Mr. Miller's House of Unwanted Memories. Repaint the house, That's one of the first things I'm going to have fixed once I start bringing in money around here. Well, you've come to the right place, if you don't mind waiting. Phoebe motions towards the cluster of people that disappears with the wraparound porch. We'll be by shortly to take down your information. Her eyes snap back to mine. And Lucy here will come by with something cold to drink. Please make yourself at home. There are folding chairs along the side of the house if you'd prefer to sit.
Thank you, ma'am.
The Oklahoma woman looks down at her feet, then back up at us.
Is there, a restroom I can use?
Of course, Vivi smiles again, then nods her head at me so I know that it's my job to show the woman where it is. As if I needed reminding. This way, I say with a sigh. The woman follows me to the back of the house, and I point to the small white clapboard building Dad erected a few years back. It looks one sneeze away from toppling over, but it's clean. I know, because I'm the one who cleaned it. Don't worry, I say when the woman hesitates. It's an eyesore, but it's nice inside. It has a fan, so it's not so stuffy. She nods, but stays rooted in place. Ma'am, is everything all right? She looks at me, eyebrows pinched and mouth curved down, and I swear, I can see the sadness pressing her into the dirt. Her shoulders curl, and her face droops under the weight of it. She has the look of a person who lost someone important. I know that look, as well as I know the feeling of standing on my own two legs. Plus, we get a lot of those around here.
Does it hurt?
She finally asks, purse clutched tight to her chest like a shield.
When Mr. Miller takes the memories away.
No, ma'am, I say, even though I can't say that I know what it feels like firsthand. But I know the way people look afterward, and there's not a trace of pain on their faces. It's peaceful. People always leave here looking happy. I promise, you'll feel much better afterward. Like a weight you didn't realize you'd been carrying has been lifted. I want to tell her what my dad does is beautiful. I want to tell her that people go home looking like they might just float straight up to the clouds, as if the burdens they brought with them were anvils that my dad snipped away, one by one. I want to tell her how I'm going to be just like Dad. But instead, I smile at her and nod toward the bathroom, because she looks like she's about to burst. My name's Lucy, if you need anything, I add. Then I turn and make my way back toward the house, resisting the urge to run, because as soon as I finish my chores, I'm going to take my first memory. I press my ear against the door to Dad's workroom, listening for the rumble of voices on the other side. Sometimes it takes a few hours for him to clear one person's burdens. Other times, it's a matter of minutes. Dad says some memories are so deeply buried that you've got to keep tugging at all the roots and pieces before they'll break free. Others flow right into his head, like water to a sponge. All I hear is quiet. I wait a few more seconds. When I'm sure no one else is inside, I twist the handle and step into the small room. Dad's in his usual spot behind a large wooden desk, the remnants of a sandwich laid out before him. Next to his chair, there's a half-torn cardboard box holding a plastic globe, a Tupperware full of cookies, and what looks like a ceramic garden gnome, most likely his last patient's way of skirting full payment. Next to that is another box filled with the empty jars he'll use to transfer the memories. Dad's pay-what-you-can approach is the reason our house looks like something that should be bulldozed. It doesn't matter how many times I tell him to toughen up. All it takes is a pair of sad eyes and a sob story, and he's willing to cut the price in half, like discounts and junk are going to fix the front porch. What in the world are we supposed to do with a garden gnome? I clear my throat. When he looks up, the crease between his eyebrows deepens.
Something wrong, Lucy?
It's Thursday, after lunch.
Remember?
I feel a familiar pinch in my chest.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?